Well, we've been moving through the Gospel of Matthew over these past few weeks, hearing many different parables from Jesus, parables that reveal to us something about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is central to Jesus' teaching. In fact, in Mark's gospel, it's one of the first things that Jesus speaks about. It's like an opening mission statement in 1:15 of Mark. It says this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, it's been a hot minute since Jesus spoke those words, but it can still feel like an elusive concept today, can it? And when you look around at things in the world, I see an awful lot that doesn't look anything like the kingdom of heaven. So what do we do with this dissonance? Well, I think that's one of the reasons over the centuries Christians have developed songs and theologies that simply relegate the kingdom of heaven to some other time far into the future or some other place far away from here. Now, that either-or thinking, that might be easy to understand, but it misses the profound paradoxical mystery of the kingdom of heaven, that it is somehow both and. It's here among us, and yet it's not fully here. It's here now, but it's still to come. It's this paradoxical mystery. And simple either or easy to understand explanations can miss the deeper truth. Pastor Amy wisely reminded us last week that the kingdom of heaven is not about somewhere else. It's about what is within us, what is among us. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because wherever Jesus is at work, the kingdom of heaven is there. And so while it may not be fully here yet, we can reflect the kingdom of heaven here and now. We get a sneak peek, a preview through the covert operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our world. And when you see it, when you experience it, it's like nothing else in this world. It's a treasure beyond value. It's a beauty beyond description. It is a joy beyond measure. It's a peace that defies logic. And Jesus shares all these parables because he wants us to see what he sees. The possibility, the reality that we can experience and reflect the kingdom of heaven here and now. But yet, we often settle for so much less. We often miss it. And so today, we're going to dive deep into a couple of these parables and invite Jesus to teach us how we can better see, experience, and reflect the kingdom of heaven in our lives. But as we get started, I want to name something. There's a word that is in this text that I think can trip us up sometimes. Does anybody else struggle with the word kingdom when we hear it in Scripture? Sometimes I do, because that word can feel problematic because it evokes echoes of things like empire or colonialism or dominance or power over others. But I think that's precisely why Jesus chooses this word, contrast. Because when we hear the word kingdom, we instantly think of kingdoms of this world, certain things, right? But the way of Jesus, the love of God, operates so dramatically different than the kingdoms of this world. And it's precisely that shocking contrast is the reason why Jesus chooses this word to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And so these parables begin to reveal just how differently this kingdom of heaven works. It's so different, in fact, that Jesus can't simply explain it in normal language. He has to speak in these parables to help us begin to grasp these deeper meanings. And the thing about parables is they're never as obvious as they first seem. They're never as straightforward as we think. The parables can surprise us, they can provoke us, they can even sometimes unsettle us. So today I want to dive into a couple of these and see how they surprise us and what they might reveal to us about the nature of the kingdom of heaven and how we can see, experience, and reflect it today. So the last couple weeks, we had just one parable that we focused on. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower. Last week, Pastor Amy led us through thinking about the parable of the weeds and the wheat. But today, friends, you came on a good day because we don't have just one parable. We get five parables, right? It's not like a buy one, get one sale. It's like a buy one, get four free kind of a thing. It's like Jesus was just one after another. He's like, I can do this all day, y'all. And so we get this parable of a mustard seed. And then right after that, yeast and a woman baking bread and a treasure in a field, a merchant and fine pearls and the net thrown into the sea. He just keeps going. We're not going to dive into all of them, but let's start with this first one, the mustard seed. This is only two verses, but there is so much here to wonder about. Now, at first glance, we hear this, and what do we think it means, right? The smallest of seeds becomes this big tree. So on the first surface level, Jesus is trying to help us understand the kingdom of heaven starts small but grows into something vast, right? But then we wonder, how would Jesus' original audience have heard this parable? What did people think about mustard seeds back then? I guarantee it wasn't a bottle, like a yellow bottle they were thinking of, right? It's interesting, nowhere else in all of Scripture does the word mustard appear, only in this parable. And now I've read some different commentaries about what people thought of mustard back in the day. Now some said that mustard was like a weed. It would grow really fast and rapidly and could take over your garden. So what does that tell us about the kingdom? Is Jesus saying in the kingdom of heaven, maybe those that we undervalue or find undesirable even can be honored and have purpose? Others, commentaries, talk about how mustard had this healing property. And so maybe Jesus is getting us to think about how Jesus is a healer. In the kingdom of heaven, there is healing. Now, there's also this imagery he provides about the mustard plant providing shelter for the birds to make their nests. So maybe he's also getting us to think about how in the kingdom of heaven, there's shelter enough for all people, all creatures. But there's this also interesting thing. As far as I'm aware, a mustard seed does not become a big tree. So why does Jesus say that? I don't think it's because he's bad at botany, right? You see, in the Old Testament, there's all this imagery about these strong, mighty trees in certain places, like the cedars of Lebanon, these strong, towering trees. And this type of strength and power was sort of lifted up in the Old Testament in places. Maybe Jesus is trying to get us to think differently. That the kingdom of heaven isn't just about this kind of worldly strength, but it's more humble than that. Maybe it's about growth, about life, about healing and community for all. So you can see how in just a couple verses, Jesus gives us so much to think about as we wonder about this kingdom of heaven. So let's take a look at the next parable. It says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." Just one sentence, but this one sentence is quite provocative. I mean, at first glance, what is Jesus teaching us about the kingdom? Maybe this idea that you mix in yeast with dough and it rises and becomes something bigger and better. At least I think. I actually don't bake things, so I'm guessing. But again, what would his original audience have heard? First, I think it's important to notice the image he uses here. Jesus is talking about the most important kingdom of all time, the most vast, the biggest, most lasting kingdom in all of the universe. And the image he uses is not a king in a palace. It's not a warrior in battle. It's a woman baking bread in her kitchen. Interesting. Now, there are several other key things going on here that we as modern readers probably miss. Number one, he talks about yeast, right? Now, when I first read this, I was thinking about those little packets you buy at Schnucks and then you put in your fridge. Turns out, I don't think they sold those back then. And a lot of the things I'm about to say come from this fantastic book called Short Stories of Jesus by Amy Jill Levine. She talks about this yeast idea. This is more like a sourdough starter or like a bread starter. And that's the kind of thing that's like this kind of gooey, smelly, fermenting thing. And in the ancient world, leavened or yeast often was used as a metaphor for things that were negative. Not always, but often. Amy Jill Levine says, there's an ick factor that Jesus is evoking when he tells this parable. Maybe he's trying to say sometimes we have to go through the less than good stuff the less than pleasant things to go get to the good stuff. I'm not sure. But then there's this next interesting thing. It says that she mixed in with 3 measures of flour. Now, how many of you, when you heard this, thought 3 cups of flour? That's what I thought, right? It turns out a cup is not the same as an ancient measure. That is actually more like 20 cups of flour. So what it's literally saying, what Jesus is saying, is something like this: mixed in with 48 pounds of flour, there's a ridiculous sense of abundance, of generosity flowing out of the story. So maybe he's saying in the kingdom of heaven, there is more than enough bread for everyone. And then the third thing that we would miss is this, the language of mixed in. This is a very misleading translation. According to Levine, the Greek here does not say mixed in at all. It says something very different. The Greek word is ekrupto, and it actually means to hide something or to conceal something. So what does that tell us? And with all that in mind, a better translation to help us hear it how they would hear it might sound like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a smelly yeast that a woman hid in 48 pounds of flour until it was all leavened. It changes how we hear it, doesn't it? What's going on here? And when you think about this in conjunction with the next parable Jesus says right after, he says that a man found a treasure hidden in a field, but rather than telling the owner, did you know you had a treasure? No, he buries it, and then he goes and buys the field and sneakily grabs that up quickly for a low price so he can acquire the treasure. What are we to make of all this? You can see how there's this sneakiness in some of the parables, these things that maybe are provoking or challenging us. And if we're honest, maybe a bit confusing. But remember, Jesus tells these parables to help us open our hearts and minds to the surprising, unexpected, contrasting ways of the kingdom of heaven. And with that in mind, I see a few common threads that flow through all of these. In the kingdom of heaven, the result is often far more than we expect. In the kingdom of heaven, the result is often very different than what we might expect. That's one thing. Another is this. In the kingdom of heaven, the things or the people that we often overlook or cast aside or undervalue often are the ones that God chooses to use and work through. Third thing, in the kingdom of heaven, there is healing and life and abundance, and usually in the most surprising and unexpected places. And finally, in the kingdom of heaven, transformation is a part of the journey. I mean, think about it. A barren field is transformed into a hidden treasure. A merchant that's been searching his whole life becomes this contented owner. A mustard seed is transformed into this tree of life. A woman becomes the feeder of multitudes. You see, friends, Jesus wants us to see, experience, and reflect the kingdom of heaven in our lives. So how do these stories help us to do that? I think it challenges us to think sometimes we're looking in the wrong places. Sometimes our focus is on the wrong things. Sometimes we are maybe seeking after the wrong goals or priorities. So do we have eyes to see things like a hidden treasure buried in a barren place? Do we have hearts to see and value the gift of those that the world often overlooks? Will we sit in the comfortable, expected places, or will we be open to those times when God surprises us and calls us into the unexpected, transformative experiences in our lives? What do we need to stop focusing on so we can better see the kingdom of God and what God is doing right here and now? Friends, there will always be sin and brokenness in this world. We will always have struggles in our lives. But Jesus is at work. And wherever Jesus is at work, the kingdom of heaven is present. We can see, experience, and reflect that kingdom here and now. Friends, the kingdom of heaven is always closer than we realize. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful that you speak to us in sometimes confusing but often thought-provoking ways to help us understand your heart for us better. To help us understand the way you work in this world and the way your spirit is moving. God, fix our eyes on the things that help us to see and experience your kingdom in our lives. Lord, open us up to your transforming work that we might become the kind of people that reflect your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, in our world around us each and every day. Amen.